Good morning and welcome. It is time for the 9 o'clock stretch. Oh, here we go. Pretend like I'm your yogi. Stretch it out.
You're just a regular Jack LaLanne.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Downward dog. Now bark like a dog. Yeah, probably wouldn't get the gig.
Yeah.
That's not why I'm here on your radio. Hey, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. This nutbag kid who blew up that IVF clinic and blew himself up, this is out in Palm Springs. Apparently, he had some really devastating kind of explosive stuff called PETN. This is like a nitroglycerin type stuff. Basically, they're saying that he pretty much had like a bomb-making facility, a bomb lab.
Wow.
In his home.
Gee, well, lucky he didn't blow up the house in the neighborhood. You know, he's probably not very good at what he did.
Yeah, no, I guess not. And he was, you know, what do you want to do? Get into hip? He was a weird dude, okay, and weird ideas. Now, there's plenty of weird people with weird ideas that never go on to harm others. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, though, do they, I've talked about this before, what's the psychiatric background? What was he treated with, any drugs? If so, what drugs? And, you know, a little historical stuff. And if you find out that there's some kind of combination or correlation that causes some of these people to really get, like, twisted in the head, you know, it'd be nice to have that addressed, if it's possible. And maybe the experts have looked at these things, and maybe it's too hard to pin down, you know? I mean, you've got literally millions and millions of people taking psychotropic drugs for, you know, depression, anxiety. You've got bipolar folks. You've got all kinds of issues. You've got OCD, and there's a lot of stuff out there. It doesn't mean you're going to try to blow stuff up or blow each other up or shoot a bunch of people, but it'd be nice. Maybe AI. Maybe AI will help us in that area. No, and I'm only being half facetious because, you know, this would be something where you can just take these mounds and mounds of data and let it disseminate all of that and see if it comes up with any sort of a pattern, or it hits on, hey, in fact, you know, 9 of these 12 folks had this, this, and this in common.
Right.
But
what's going to be tough is the things that don't ever make the internet or the sources that it looks at. It's those unknowns that the family doesn't talk about or doesn't get made public by investigations. It's like, what are those things that, like you're talking about, that there's got to be some commonalities there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Oh, you're...
Yeah.
What do? Mark them?
Well, see,
monitor them?
Now we're going to get into a whole new red flag world with that kind of stuff. I mean, we're talking, you know, sci-fi futuristic things, but it's not that far off, and they do stuff like
maybe
that.
Maybe it will. Maybe with AI, it will be that way. They'll go, oh, you have statistically one of the highest chances of committing a felony, so we're just going to head and
put you in now. Yeah, hey.
Don't
give them any ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to name my motorcycle Spike.
Explain.
Hey, Spike.
I like the name.
What
but,
do you like?
Yeah.
Because Betsy got these little windshield kind of screws that go where the, you know, the fairing and the small windshield on there. And they stick out like little spikes.
Okay.
You
I
know?
Like that.
Like,
yeah.
Cool to give it a tough look. And then on the way home yesterday, I was listening to and Tom Petty song, Spike.
Oh, there's
on.
Timing for
and
you.
It's very Gainesville-ish.
Yeah,
I in the like telling it. Of the story, a guy that I guess he at one point came in contact with would used to wear a dog collar around Gainesville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Spike, what do you like?
That's funny.
And so I think that's going
like
to be...
I think it fits.
Yeah, Spike.
It's a good-looking bike.
Me and Spike. We need to go out for a ride.
Here you go.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Some people take their dog for a walk. He takes Spike for a ride.
For a ride.
Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ride your dog.
No. Even if it's a big dog, you're probably
it's probably not good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Supreme Court has ruled in the president's favor. Supreme Court said, Donald Trump, yep, you can end the TPS amnesty. That's the temporary protected status that was given out to more than 300,000 Venezuelan migrants. And this wasn't like a split, really, ruling. It was an 8-1 ruling by the Supreme Court.
Mm.
And the only dissenting justice was Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the one that had difficulty knowing what the definition of a woman was.
Yeah.
But everybody else was on board. That's a good thing. So President Trump will, I'm sure, take action on that.
You think she'll look back and watch that video and go, man, society just had me in such a corner that I could not even answer a simple, reasonable question with a simple, reasonable, honest answer? Because, you know, that's the mode that the country and the world was in at that time, which I hate these phases we go through, because then they're gone in a few months, and we've screwed all kinds of things up in the meantime.
I am sure she is intelligent enough to understand the value of self-reflection. Whether she engages in it or not, it's another issue. But
good point.
It's possible.
Good point.
Can always hope.
Yeah.
Illegal aliens, in trouble again. Uh-oh. Go figure. Yeah. Illegal, get in trouble. Huh.
Yeah.
Illegal aliens being recruited to join sophisticated criminal networks in the United States. They're staging accidents and injuries. They're getting payouts through the nation's personal injury system. So it was actually in a letter led by Representative Mike Collins, a Republican out of Georgia. The group of Republicans sent the letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi to try to, you know, express their concerns about this issue, and apparently it's a growing issue. These fraudulent schemes pose serious risks to public safety, increase consumer costs, raise insurance premiums for the motoring public. According to the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, we're talking $308 billion annually, with $45 billion attributable to property and casualty insurance fraud. So this is very, very expensive, and you and me and everybody else who has to buy insurance ends up paying for this. So whether or not she actually puts together a task force or not, but that is what they're asking AG Bondi to do. And, yeah, I think it's a great thing to do. Anytime you can bust up, you know, fraud like that, if they're doing it, there's rings of it, and they're constantly recruiting. Yeah, it's just like a multi-level marketing thing. It just grows and expands. And once again, you know, you and I foot the bill for that. So, again, hopefully, action will be taken. Russia is not doing that great economically. And apparently they have been doing far worse since President Trump took office. And President Trump understands that. And that is one of his strategies as he reaches out to Vladimir Putin to say, hey, look, sit down with Zelensky. You guys need to end this. Okay, end the bloodshed. And because you're losing lives, you're destroying each other's, you know, cities and properties and everything else. And there's a better way, and there's a more prosperous way. And basically saying to Moscow, you could be a great trading partner when the violence ends. So, once again, using the tools available, creating and utilizing leverage. The art of the deal is at work. His name is Donald J. Trump. And thank our Heavenly Father that he is our president right now. 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Comey, still picking up seashells? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, does he feel bad about what he did? Does he understand the gravity of what he did? Of course he does. He thinks he's clever.
Uh-huh.
More to come on 97.3 The Sky. The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, makes you smarter. Just like drinking beer. It made Budweiser.
Wow.
No, actually, because we have doctors and experts on the air.
Real ones.
Like Dr. John, who was talking about get your screening, take care of your prostate. He's seen what he calls turbo-type cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're coming up dramatically. And what's the term that he had a term, metastatically.
Yes, metastatic.
Instead of, you know, metastasizes.
Yeah.
And he said it so many times and so quickly, I wanted to make sure that people understand that, in other words, the first diagnosis of, say, a cancer mm-hmm. like this actually already metastasized, already moved to, spread out to,
right. mm-hmm.
like bones and organs, etc. In other words, very, very aggressive. Turbo cancer was one of the terms he used. And he said some of the, when they call for screenings, you know, is kind of outdated, especially when it comes to family history. If you missed any of that conversation, you can always listen to it on the Bob Rose Show podcast. And it's available wherever you normally would download your podcasts, you know, like Spotify, like the Odyssey app. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. You'll never miss great interviews like that. Very information filled that may actually, you know, save your life.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
It's like information so that the lethality of cancer doesn't catch you.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal Weapon is back.
Really?
Does that mean the mullet's coming back?
Oh, wow. Now you're talking.
Yeah, I didn't believe it till I just saw it. It must be true because it's in the New York Post, the nation's oldest newspaper.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon co-stars Mel Gibson, 69, and Danny Glover, 78, reunite in head of fifth installment?
What? Well, in the old folks home or what?
Don't you remember one of the lines from the movie? As soon as I say it, you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
By Mel Gibson's character. Actually, both of them said it, I think, several times in the movie. I'm getting too old for this stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Well, now look at him. Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's like The Who saying, I hope I die before I get old.
Uh-huh.
Lethal Weapon co-stars Mel Gibson and Danny Glover reminded fans of the iconic catchphrase featured in all four movies when they reunited over the weekend, 38 years after the first movie launched. Their reunion happened at a fan expo in Philadelphia where the legendary duo fielded questions about the long-delayed fifth Lethal Weapon installment. Gibson is directing. Glover agreed to reprise his role as Detective Roger Murtaugh, who famously claimed that he was too old for this
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess he's really the one that used it more often. I mean, I'm just being honest here. I mean, he's 78, so you don't expect him to look like a spring chicken.
Right.
He is definitely starting to show some age.
We forget how long ago those movies were, and so you start doing the math and put yourself in context.
But they seem to really have a great rapport in those movies.
Oh, yeah.
There was a great like energy and a chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't there also a time when they weren't? Didn't they have like a falling out, I thought?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I thought there was a time when, they didn't, they weren't buddies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see they're moving forward.
Yeah.
I like that.
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Although, you know, we'll remind you that we...
Yeah.
We are aging.
Mm-hmm.
That's the downside. That would be fun.
I think so.
Why not?
I wonder what the context will be at that age. Obviously, are they... Do we know anything about it yet? Are they telling us or teasing us?
Yes, they are nursing home detectives. I tried to throw them... Almost got it by you. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work.
A little soon for that, I guess.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. How often do you see an aged actor mm-hmm. playing like law enforcement, a detective, or whatever? In the real world, a lot of these guys retire by the time they're 55 or 60.
Yeah,
the time in.
The only ones that kind of caught on were like you had Matlock, you know? You had, what was the one Buddy Ebsen played?
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
Murder, She Wrote. You know, so there had been a few.
She was a cop?
Well, she was a writer, but she always solved mysteries.
Well, I know.
In real life, though, is what I'm saying. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
We were doing the cop analogy.
Yeah, but she solved crime. So, yeah. And none of them were young.
Yeah, that...
Buddy Ebsen pulling out that old revolver. it was kind of funny.
Buddy Ebsen, old boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he started like in vaudeville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was going to be the original Tin Man, remember?
Yes.
And the silver stuff about killed him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, I just barely remember that story.
He ended up in the hospital. Somebody else got the role, and they had to change the makeup.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why he never went on to do commercials to buy gold and silver. I think he always had kind of a traumatic experience from that.
Wow, a little
I'm just doing PTSD. I think I'm going to do like fake news.
You started it.
Should we set? Maybe we'll do it more on Friday, like Fake News Friday.
Yeah, then you can
I'll just make stuff up.
And you can share it on Facebook.
Wow. I did share a fake news thing on Facebook, not knowing it was fake news. I hope I learned my lesson there.
Oh, yeah.
I apologize to anybody who saw that. Tim Tebow is not the athletic director.
No, he's not. No, it's not real.
It is, however, 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're 15 minutes away from things that make you smile on 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, baby. Well, into the 9 o'clock stretch we go. It is 9:35. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Closer and closer, hopefully, to a ceasefire and peace talks between Zelensky and Putin. President Trump pushing hard for it. The Pope even saying, hey, you can use the Vatican. Got a place where you can have a meeting right over here.
No, I got extra room. Right, so yeah, it's a big place.
Hey.
Secure, got a wall around it?
It's Pope Leo.
Ooh.
I tell you, this is an offer. You probably shouldn't refuse it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But no, it is, it's moving in that direction. Let's hope it continues.
Yep.
I mentioned that Lethal Weapon 5 is going to be coming out. I'm not sure where they're at in terms of getting it all done, but, that's a cool thing. And did I mention that Mel Gibson is going to direct it?
I like that.
Well, they had Richard Donner. He directed it, all four of the previous ones. Mm, and that's who, of course, would have been directing, but then he died. You know, that kind of ruins plans.
Yeah, it does.
But he said, he goes, hey, kid, if I ever kick off, you take the reins on this.
So here he is.
So Mel Gibson
will be
producing it. And he reached out to Danny Glover, and he said, I called him, and I said, hey, dude, is it okay with you if I direct this? And he said, yeah, let's go.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, then aren't they doing the follow-up to Passion of the Christ as well? Did I not see that somewhere?
Doesn't he die at the end?
But there's a surprise.
Shh. I don't want to ruin it.
It's in the book, but in case somebody didn't read it, then, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of those books turn into great
movies. I only read the good parts.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's kind of...
And there wasn't hardly any pictures.
No.
No.
Well, cameras were a little scarce back then.
You could have drew it.
I had one of those when I was a kid. It had all the pictures.
Oh, really?
It would draw.
Oh, the kiddie Bible.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to go from director to director.
You can.
Okay. Hollywood director Wes Anderson, who, honestly, I don't know a lot about, but I do now.
Yeah?
He took a shot. At my boy.
What'd he do?
My boy Donald Trump.
What now?
Well, he was talking tariffs, and I'm not sure what the expertise would be on somebody who directs movies and tariffs.
You don't think the Hollywood elite are experts at everything they think they are?
No, you have a good point there. The 56-year-old director appeared before reporters. How do you say his name? Benicio? Del Toro?
I don't know. Sounds like somebody you went to school with.
Benicio. Anyway, the tariff is fascinating because the 100% tariff, I've never heard of 100% tariff. This was the director, Wes Anderson, speaking. I'm not an expert in that area of economics.
However.
But.
See, same thing.
I feel that means he's saying he's going to take all the money, and then what do we do? What do we get?
He's going to have tariffs so that he can keep all the money. I don't know anything about tariffs, but I think Donald Trump is keeping the money. What an idiot. I'm sorry, but what an idiot.
Well, it might be news to Wes Anderson if he found out that Donald Trump not only is not taking the tariff money, he's not taking the plane. It would never be in his name.
Right.
Talks and discussions began while Biden was still president to accept that plane as a gift.
Right.
But
gives his salary back.
But he also, you know, that was the other thing, that he doesn't even receive a paycheck, but somehow he's going to pocket those tariffs.
How could you... Without, again, well, he's doing it, and he does look stupid, but to say, I don't know anything about it, however, and then fill it in with the worst, most ridiculous thing you can come up with, like the president's keeping the tariffs. I mean, that's really just not too bright.
But then he also goes on to say, you know, I can't even figure out how such a tariff might be enforced. It's complicated to me. I think, can you hold up the movie in customs? It doesn't ship that way. And the stars of the movie, that including Del Toro, were like, they were laughing. They're like,
Yeah, quit talking there,
Who's
boss,
who's directing the director to speak?
Give him the hook.
Anderson's newest film is meant to ridicule capitalism, so it seems likely that his admission of not being an expert in economics is a correct assessment.
Now, wait a minute. He's going to make, in his world, could potentially make millions of dollars with a capitalist act while doing a film that's anti-capitalist.
Yeah, that's what all socialists, people that promote socialism, that's what they do. Yep. Once they've made bears, they want to tell you how great socialism is. You see it from artists.
Oh, Springsteen, too. The list goes on and
what
on.
A great, what a great example. John Mellencamp.
Yes,
and,
same thing.
Yeah, tell you about, you know, socialism is the way to go when every penny they've made was through capitalism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Funny how they didn't seem to share those views quite so much when they didn't have anything.
No.
They made theirs first.
President Trump announced his tariff proposal early in May. He has not moved forward on that planned date. This is the ones that would actually affect Hollywood. In other words, make movies here in the U.S. was the idea behind it. Stirred a lot of discussion in the international film industry in general, and Hollywood in particular. It's also been a hot topic in Cannes this year. Several industry insiders, filmmakers, and actors taking time to criticize the proposal. Now, you can imagine, part of it is, you know, they ask, they go, oh, this thing about a tariff. Let me ask you something. Is that from Trump? Why, yes, it is. Why, it's bad.
Wow.
It's evil. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Former FBI Director James Comey. Is he still at the beach? Is he still looking for seashells? Sally sells seashells to seashore?
Oh, man, we need a spit garden here.
Wait, you know, I don't think I was spitting. Sounds like I have, but I'm not spitting. Spitting inside my mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks for sharing.
Anybody eating Cheerios right now? I apologize.
Yeah.
Comey explains how this whole thing happened. You know what I'm talking about, the 8647 Instagram photo that he posted. Listen, I've got to share it with you the way that he explains it on MSNBC.
It's riveting.
He said, we were walking on the beach. We went to the beach to prepare for this week, which was the launch of my book. Did I say I have a new book? Did I mention that I have a book? And to think about the book and to prepare to answer questions about the book. Did I mention the book? And we were walking back toward the road. We saw in the sand someone had arranged shelves with numbers. Patrice, my wife, said, why would someone put an address in the sand? Well, first of all, wow. Way to use your wife as a prop and roll the bus over her.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. And I said, I don't know. We stood over it, and I said, I think it's some kind of political message. And she said, you know, 86, when I was a server, she did a lot of work in restaurants, meant to remove an item from the menu when we ran out of ingredients. I said, well, to me as a kid, it always meant to leave a place, to ditch a place. I said, that's really clever. As head of the FBI, he's dealt with mobs and mobsters, and he knows what 86 means. It means to eliminate. Okay. Yes, all those other meanings are correct as well. But as head of the FBI, you would have special additional knowledge about, you know, the vocabulary and terminology of the underworld.
You would think he would know that one as much as she would know the one about, you know, taking the lettuce off or something.
Exactly.
You would think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said, that's really clever. So then she said, you should take a picture of that. I did. And I posted it on my Instagram account thinking, hey, maybe this will help promote my new book. Did I mention I have a new book? And I thought nothing more of it, he says, until I heard through her that people were saying it was some sort of a call for assassination, which is crazy, but I took it down. Even if I think it's crazy, well, I don't want to be associated with violence of any kind.
Okay, can I interject a real quick thought because of the way he phrased something there at the end? You're going to tell me the former head of the FBI, before any of his friends, people he worked with, underground people who are, none of them reached out to him with something before his wife did on that one? Like, it didn't get their attention? Like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Really?
One would think that that would be the case.
Because one of them had to see it. Because
if I put something stupid up, I know, Greg, if you saw it,
yes,
you would say, hey, Bob, I'm not sure you know what that means, or I'm assuming you know what that means. I wouldn't post that.
No, I wouldn't take that down. For somebody else to tell you. You're going to move on it. I don't believe that either.
Yeah. And so I'm involving my wife to make it somehow seem, you know, somewhat innocent. Wow. So Nicole Wallace, who's interviewing him, did you have any regret about posting that picture? Well, I regret the distraction and the controversy around it. But again, it's hard to have regret about something that, even in hindsight, looks to me to be totally innocent for the reasons you said. Yeah, I didn't have a gut check in the Trump era. I thought it was a clever way to express a political view.
Uh-huh.
The shells were the same color for each of the letters, with different colors for the letters. It took a lot of work. Somebody with artistic flair did the... Are you kidding me? Wow, weasels ripped my flesh, and he has got to be weasel number one these days. And, yeah. And, by the way, who would buy a book from this liar, betrayer, grandstander, self-loving idiot? Is there you think there's anything that he would write that would be worth reading?
No.
I mean, he really is. I don't know what to say. I mean, how small it makes you look that you were the former director of the FBI and you want to embroil yourself in this like little political commentary, and then you don't even want to own it. You want to take the weasel's way out. Well, I thought it meant to leave a place.
Yeah. Well, maybe you look at the book as fiction, kind of like, you know, everything else he has said in the past.
Yeah, but it has no value to me.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, none whatsoever. No. So, whatever. He did that to get attention to sell his book. There's no doubt in my mind.
Absolutely. This morning is flying by, Bob. Have you noticed that?
I have, but I didn't even know it was time for a break, but apparently it is, and apparently it's time for the folks maybe to take over with things that make them smile. I mean, we're talking upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts. Come on, you can do it. Count your blessings kind of a thing. Share it with us. 877-975-9825. Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now for Things That Make You Smile on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's another day in paradise. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:53, and it is time now for things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive thoughts. I don't know, like count your blessings kind of a thing. Non-political. And things that make you smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Call in now. 877-975-9825. And good morning, Mark. What's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. What's making me smile is I figured out my little hack when the radio signal from the sky gets a little fuzzy and it kind of disappears. So I, the other day, I was kind of dialing around after the signal went out. I'm like, well, maybe if I just turn the tuning thing. And then I bumped upon the 94.3 the lake in Lake City, an old classic. Listen to one song and then see if the sky signal is back, and then listen to another song if the signal's still out. So I figured out my hack.
Well, there you go. Yeah, this weather phenomenon, whatever you want to call it, temperature inversion, it's in the atmospheric, we can't control. It should be getting better now.
Yeah.
And so apologies. Let's go to Dylan. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Well, what's making me smile is to be out here mowing the fields in my John Deere tractor and having a lovely family at home and good health, and count my blessings every day. You got to enjoy the little things in life.
Absolutely, and it sounds like you definitely get it.
So oh, yeah.
Continue to enjoy, my friend.
But keep a hat on in that sun because it's hot out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you're mowing.
Sounds like he, this ain't his first rodeo.
No, don't think so. Not the first day on a tractor.
Hey, a very special things that make you smile going out to our good friend and colleague, Bill Morris. He is one of our account executives who has been here for decades. And the thing is, when he started, like 30 years ago,
yes,
he was really retired. And he said, well, you know, I'll help you guys out, get things
months,
rolling.
Yeah, right.
And here we are, I don't know, 30 years later, something like that.
Yeah,
but
crazy.
Do you want me to mention Bill's age?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, this guy, and I don't want to make him blush. This guy was a hero in the Korean War. He was a naval aviator,
mm-hmm,
okay, flying missions.
Yes.
And Bill is 93 years old today.
That's awesome.
And congratulations and happy birthday, Bill. This is a guy who has lived life.
Oh, man.
You know, he's raised hugely successful children.
Yeah.
A long, long, very happy marriage. Personally, I mean, I've known him for the 23 years that I've been here, and
yep,
he's awesome.
Yep.
Let's go to GT. You're on the Bob Rose Show. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob. What's making me smile is the information that you and Greg put out, specifically Dr. John earlier, and as a cancer in remission fighter, his information is great. That makes me smile.
That makes me smile that you were able to get that, and we could share all that information with everybody. You can get it on the podcast where you normally download podcasts. Look for the Bob Rose Show. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of it, and you'll get that podcast from Dr. John. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Senator Chuck Schumer always trying to make something out of nothing and somehow blame Trump or Doge. That's exactly what he's trying to do. Blame Trump and or Doge for the Mexican Navy tall ship that hit the Brooklyn Bridge. Are you kidding me? He said, well, look, the U.S. Coast Guard may not have been operating at full capacity when that occurred. Did he check to see if they were operating at full capacity before saying something that stupid? No, of course he did not. And, of course, the folks at the Coast Guard said, yep, we were fully functioning and operating during that entire time. That's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Have a great day. See ya.